Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go Niners.
Wow.
The drive-by on the report as well. Michael Silver will join us at 9:05. We don't necessarily represent the comments of of the callers.
The comments are not representative of our feelings about one Michael Silver, a man who Lowe's known for probably 25 years going back to his playing day. I've known him for a solid 15. Those comments do not represent or reflect the view here of Jolo and Dibs Incorporated. My man.
Jonathan in San Francisco. Jonathan, we always appreciate the call. Your thoughts on the Jimmy G conversation.
Hey, I got an idea to help out Jimmy G and the offense. And it's not anything new. It's, who came up with this is the late, great Bill Walsh. And that idea is script the plays, man. I've seen the 49ers do this for two-plus decades, and they were always coming out firing because they're going to be in rhythm because they've been doing this in practice over and over again. Sometimes, football is just execution, right? So if they script those two plays, 15 to 25 plays, they could execute the defense and they could start the game faster. The 49ers did this for two-plus decades, and it resulted in five Super Bowls.
Appreciate the phone call. Jeff and Marin. Jeff, thanks for calling. What are your thoughts on the Jimmy G conversation?
Thanks for taking my call. So, a couple things. One, I think we're almost kind of doing what we all did in the preseason. We see him look like crap in Denver, and then he comes back in KC, and we go, okay, not so bad. I think this first game against Tampa, he threw behind some receivers. He threw over their head. He had the pick six. But there's a couple things that I thought were impressive. One, of course, was the touchdown pass to Richie James Jr. You couldn't throw it better. Over the shoulder, in stride, right into his hands. Beautiful throw, right? The other thing that I remarked upon when I was watching the game was, I can't remember which quarter it was in, but he gets a pretty good pass rush coming up from his right side. He took one step to his left, kept looking down the field, and completed the pass. Tells me he's got really good pocket presence and feel for the rush. And it was almost like Roethlisberger to that extent that, Roethlisberger always takes a step and avoids some huge hit and draws a little bit more time to complete a pass. I think what we're seeing right now is a guy who, yes, is still a little bit rusty. He's still getting his timing down with the receivers he's got. He doesn't have Trent Taylor out there. He doesn't have Jalen Hurd out there. Pettis was essentially invisible. I think with time, he's going to continue to improve through the season. I love Nick Mullins. I really do. But I think you got to ride the horse that got you here right now, and that's really Garoppolo. And I am your 1 billionth listener.
That's a great uptick right there, too.
Nice uptick. On his way out the door. Very nicely done from Marin. Remember, if you're going to make a big decision, you need to evaluate all sides of the potential outcome. And you got to understand whether or not you're evaluating properly. That's where a lot of people get mixed up. Case in point, how often does a team fall in love with a player at the combine, right? Like, that's the worst place on earth to be evaluating an NFL player. You're not even playing football. You're going to a building where no football is being played whatsoever, and you're making determinations about whether or not a guy can play football. Watching tape. Right, the combine is about getting to know the guy, putting him through some athletic tests, and properly timing him so you understand his speed and his athleticism. But you want to get to know him and you want to get the medicals. That's just a small fraction of the equation. But so many guys go to the combine and they see a shredded dude with no shirt on and they think, my God, DK Metcalf was one of those guys. He didn't even go in the first round, but how much is Seattle going to get out of him this year? Vernon Golston coming out of Ohio State. The Jets fell in love with him at the combine. Mike Mamula to the Eagles. Watch the tape, see how they do, and see how they do against the best possible competition. I don't know why that took so many attempts to get that out. It's not that challenging of a word. Case in point, though, with Garoppolo, is he in a situation right now where he can show you his absolute best? His number one running back's down. Is his offensive line average to above average? I'm not going to say yes or no. Just think about it. And then look at his receiving unit. What's he dealing with at receiver? Marquise Goodwin, who's not a true number one. A guy who's been hit or miss throughout his entire career. Deebo Samuel's got one game under his belt. Dante Pettis apparently hasn't taken a step forward. Kendrick Bourne is very unproven. Jalen Hurd is hurt. Trent Taylor is hurt. And Richie James, while in his second year, made a nice touchdown grab. Again, do we really know what Richie James is? The point is, you've got him out there. You're expecting him to do a certain thing. Does he have what he needs to show you that? Ultimately, you'd want to evaluate these guys with everything being the same. Average offensive line, average receivers, average running backs, average play calling, all normalized across the board. And then you plug every single quarterback in, and the ones that do great are great quarterbacks, and the ones that do poorly are poor quarterbacks, because you have an easy way to compare all of them. That's what you have to understand right now. Are we watching a guy who's being put in an average to above average situation? He doesn't need great players around him to make the evaluation, because, again, those players could make him look better than he is. But he needs average. That's the question. Does he have average around him? I think he could at wide receiver, but there's so much uncertainty at that position. If these guys turn out to all be misses across the board, how fair is that to him?
Agreed. I think that the biggest thing that you got to look at is why. Why are people talking about Nick Mullins? Why are people saying, hey, maybe go to Nick Mullins? And I think that the first thing you got to do, just evaluating anybody, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a lineman, receiver, one is, can he make you better? Does he set you up for the opportunity to look good? Can they make you look good? When you're looking at it, when you're looking at a quarterback and you go through practice and you're saying, man, can he throw receivers open? Can he go out there and line up and tell, hey, look, run that option route. Hey, the safeties, they're playing cover two. Hey, give them a point. Point out there. Hey, pull up the two. They don't know what you're talking about. Hold up the two. And you already had that signal with this guy that's saying, hey, look, I want you to take the middle of the field. Just those little things. Can he throw it on a dime? Can he throw them in tight windows and make sure that guys make them look better? If the answer's yes, then you say, man, that guy has made these guys step up and play better. When you're throwing balls behind guys and they're unable to make the catch, if you're throwing a ball up really high and guys don't have necessarily the best hands, are you making him better? And suppose they're just putting it here, leading guys open, throwing guys open, throwing them out of danger. Guys start to get trust. They start to trust you more. And if Jimmy G, we know he can do that, but if he's not doing that, and when we saw some of the passes that he said, well, Kittle's jumping up and he can't get it. Guys are throwing guys, not throwing them open. When you do those things, and then is everyone else looking around, what is it? Why are they talking about Mullins? Is Mullins at practice throwing guys open? Is he showing guys, hey, look, run that five route, and he's right when they come out of the break, the ball's on him. So it's like, stick him. Do you have those opportunities, and is that out there? If that's out there, that makes people have caution saying, hey, man, Nick looks great at practice. Receivers, teammates, everyone around say, man, this dude's playing well. So all these things have to be taken into consideration when you're evaluating any position. Does those guys make the players look better? Does my quarterback make my young players, does my quarterback make these guys look better than what they are? And if those questions are yes or no, and which quarterback is doing that because you feel you can win, then you got to live with that.
Yeah, I think part of the evaluation has to always look at the win. And you mentioned it at the very end. They won the game. So for me, you can look at Jimmy Garoppolo and see the struggles and the throws you're talking about. You're right, behind and too high for Kittle, and he didn't hit all the throws. And he had the pick six, which was a pretty bad throw. They won the football game. The coach designed a play sheet to put the quarterback and the offense in a position to do enough to win that football game. So, as we like to say, you're on to Cincinnati, and you hope that the quarterback and the coach and the offense can execute again to a high enough level to where you can win the football game again. And obviously, the defense is a big factor in all this. But I think with this team, the way the defense is designed especially, you don't necessarily need Jimmy G to go out there and throw it like Andy Dalton did last week, 50 times and 400-plus yards, because you have a good defense you can rely on.
Back to the Billions. To Arizona we go. Frank in Arizona. Frank, thanks for listening. What's going on?
Thanks, guys. I really enjoy your guys' show. I listen to you every morning. But I think you guys, just talking about the Jimmy G situation, you guys need to, you know, pump the brakes a little. A lot of people fail to realize we're 7-2 with him, you know, and he's sitting here, you know, he's coming back after an ACL injury. Of course he's got to knock some rust off, you know. I think, you know, I agree with Joe that, you know, you don't want to shake things up. So, you know, I'd say just everybody pump the brakes and don't shake it up.
It's a great uptick, the Arizona uptick.
Everyone's coming in with the upticks today.
That was strong from Arizona there.
We had more referee upticks, too, over the weekend, by the way. I got the video. I got to send it over to the guys, get it cut up if we want to play some more referee upticks. But they've been the referees union apparently loves us. Absolutely.
And I wonder why. I wonder if it's listening to the player who does nothing but hate on him, or the gambler who says the fixes are always in, or maybe it's the fellow official. And that's probably the reason why they're tuning in.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome, gentlemen. And welcome to being part of the Billions.
We never said we wanted them as part of the Billions. You make it sound like it's this badge of honor that we got a bunch of fixed refs calling into the show and upticking left and right.
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised when you see our class photos we did a couple weeks ago. I may have a surprise in store for you two gentlemen. We don't get along, so we can't do a group photo anymore. We had to do individual photo sessions. My session, I believe, was third. We went Joe, Lowe, and Divs. We do everything in order on this program, but when they put the picture together, I got a little surprise for you two boys. So there you
go. Think about this if you're out there listening. We were asked to do new show photos for the website. They didn't like the old ones. They wanted something updated. So they told us all, you know, come in with nice shave, do whatever you want to do, but tomorrow we're going to do, and this was last week, tomorrow we're going to do photos. Then they bring us in, and they say we're just going to do them individually and then put it all together via Photoshop. I've never heard of such a thing.
It's unheard of, Coach.
Like, I don't know the why on stuff like that. I don't even bother to ask because it's so outside the realm of reasonable that I don't even know what to do with that. We're doing a group photo. All right, well, where do you want us? Well, we don't need you together. Who wants to go first? Why would I go first in a group photo?
Right.
Makes no sense, babe. No sense.
Antithesis to the word group.
Wow.
It's shocking, so, yeah. Really. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah. But that's how you do things every now and again. It's like pulling Garoppolo after a win.
Yeah.
And then being like, we're going to go with Mullins because Jimmy just, you know.
I don't think no one's saying pull Jimmy after the win. I think there's a situation that we said, hey, look, if this guy's losing, if the Niners would have been losing, let's say, 9-3, and it's a fourth quarter, and you've seen him, and he's thrown four interceptions, and the defense kept him in, do I pull him that particular game? I would have. It didn't happen. Should he start this week? Absolutely. Do I think Jimmy G's going to play better? I really do. I believe that he's going to throw the
ball.
See,
you and I disagree on this so vehemently because I want him in there to see if he can win that. If he can come back and win that and show that he's got it in him where after playing 58 minutes of lousy football, but he's got one last chance to win it and he can put all that behind him, lead him down the field and win, that shows me a lot more than benching him and trying with someone else. If you leave him in and he doesn't get it done, then you can go to him and say, you're not the guy, we're going to make a switch, and it's justified. But if you go to him after pulling him with 2 minutes to go and you let the other guy try to lead it down and then say, well, we're going to go back to you, I don't feel like I have a lot of confidence from the organization there. I'd rather leave him out there, and if he fails, what's anyone going to do? At that point, you've gone ahead and you've eliminated any of the avenues for anyone to criticize you.
Yeah, I just think it's about winning, and it's not that I don't like Jimmy G. I think that if the guy's hurt, and he's shown that hey, look, in that game that he's not feeling great, and you don't see the confidence there, it's up to the coach. The coach owes that to the other 52 guys, Joe. I just think that they owe.
But this comes down to a thing where if he's hurt, why is he playing? Like, if you're going to go out there and play, we have to take you at that. We can't sit here and say, well, he's hurt, but he's playing. If you can't play, if you're not capable of doing your job, why are you on the field to begin with?
Well, I think that you ask Kevin Durant. You ask a lot of guys why they get on the field to begin with. A lot of people think that they can do it. A lot of guys go out there and they do it. A lot of guys can't. Sometimes they want to be saved. And I'm not saying Jimmy. I think Jimmy G is going to be fine. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. I think the guy can win a Super Bowl. I think you have enough talent around to win. My biggest thing, if you believe that you can win now, if you believe that you can win this year, and he's struggling, and you believe you can win, I just think that a situation that you say, hey, look, I believe that we have enough talent. I believe that if it comes down to the quarterback play and it's not good enough, then I'm looking at it and saying, hey, look, I'm still having this guy maybe my starter next year. But if Mullins is head and shoulders above him because he doesn't have the confidence and because he's injured, I'm not saying he is injured, then that's just where I'm at.
And that's, I think, a fair assessment to make maybe week 10, week 11. I don't know if there's anything you could see at practice, and maybe you can answer this better than anyone, Lo. Could you see something in practice that was so impressive that would lead you to change your mind about what happens on a game day?
But you, so you're saying if you don't care. So if you're out of it, you're saying, I don't want to wait till I'm out of it. If you believe that this team can win and he's struggling, and you, and he's struggling mightily. I'm not in Tampa. Hey, look, guys got to catch the ball too. You can't have those penalties.
Right.
Two other touchdowns got called on the board. I think his performance was okay. I didn't give him an F. I didn't give him a D, a C.
C minus, I think. He was all right.
Yeah. And but I'm looking at it saying, but if I believe that I can win, would I wait that long? I wouldn't wait that long. Not
right.
If I believe. Now, if I knew my team was horrible and I said, I can't win, then I'm staying. I'm staying with the guy and you fight it out. And you, Andrew Luck, like Andrew Luck, didn't have a lot of talent a couple years back. You stay with your guy. But if he, but Andrew Luck showed you that he looked good.
Right.
Now,
and
Jimmy
I see
G
your
doesn't
point.
Look good. Then that's I just wouldn't do it.
I just think that if you go, let's say you go to Cincinnati and the scenario you played out before in Tampa Bay where you're down fourth quarter, you're down by 4 points and Jimmy G is 11 of 25, and he's thrown two interceptions, and he really physically looks a little bit skittish, a little bit shaky. If you make the move in that point, I think what Joe says is accurate. You then can't come back in week three and say, all right, Jimmy G, you're back in there. We just pulled you because we thought Mullins gave us a better chance to win in this moment. I think once you make that switch, it's almost impossible to then go back and flip-flop and put your other guy back in as a
starter.
Well,
you talked about how do you make those decisions. Earlier I talked about, hey, if you're at practice and a guy's throwing seven or eight interceptions, and then the next guy come in and he's throwing darts, and he's throwing guys open, the offense is humming, people are moving around, he's getting guys in the right spot, they're moving, they're going downfield. They're going to walk in that locker room, and you're asking as a player, how do they feel?
Right.
Guys are going to look around, receivers, and they, bam, if certain have a certain command, and they're feeling good, upbeat. Linemen, offense, defense, they're not dumb. They're not blind. They see things and they're like, man, dude was balling, man. You know,
they say it under their breath because they know that the other guy is the starter.
And then on Sunday, if you fast forward, and then Sunday you're playing whoever, and it's a situation, and those guys, the other 52 guys are looking, and you're in a game, you're down by four, and it's like 4 minutes left, and your guy's throwing three interceptions, and he just looked horrible. I'm telling you, there's guys that'll be like, look, I wouldn't be surprised if like a coach, guys are making those decisions. They go up and say, man, we got playing. And I've seen those things happen. So I'm not saying that the guy's still not going to start. I mean, you had a situation was in San Diego where Marty Schottner comes up to Drew and I mean, Drew, do what you need to do. Going to pull him, put in another guy. So I see things like that happen. Yeah, you might be, you're right. It does open up Pandora's box. But if you think you can win, I'm just trying to win.
Michael Silver, 95.7 The Game Football Insider, NFL Insider for the NFL Network. He's going to join us at 9:05. A reminder for those of you who may be just joining us, John Lynch, Niner GM, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So we got Silver at 9:05 today, John Lynch tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The phone lines are juiced, so if you want to hang tight, we will bring you on to the show next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Jimmy Garoppolo, based on what Silver's saying, is there a point this season where if he doesn't look good, you would turn it over to Mullins, or do you want to see him ride out the season one way or another? 888-957-9570. Here is nice guy Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram was put on injured reserve this morning and will miss the rest of the season and will undergo shoulder surgery. Will the Raiders make any moves to replace him this year? Bonte Steiny and Guru will ask 95.7 The Game NFL insider Adam Kaplan at 11. 49ers running back Tevin Coleman has a high ankle sprain and will miss a few weeks. How will this running back core handle these coming weeks? Well, fellow running back Matt Breida will join the Damon Bruce Show with Ratto and Kolsky at 3 o'clock. Remember, you can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. On to baseball, the Giants get the 5-4 win behind Johnny Cueto on the mound while the A's thrash the Astros 21-7. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Michael Silver coming up next with Joe Lo and Dibs. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To the phones, to the billions, 888-957-9570. So it's interesting because a lot of people in the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 wondering why we're talking about a quarterback controversy. We don't have a quarterback controversy.
No,
we don't see there being a quarterback controversy. I don't think anyone sees it as a quarterback controversy. But there are well-connected people like Michael Silver, for example, 95.7 The Game football insider. He'll join us at 9:05, who are speculating, but based on good intel, I'm sure, that if Garoppolo struggles this year, don't be surprised if you see Nick Mullins, right? Like, that becomes a story because in Green Bay, you wouldn't say, well, if Aaron Rodgers struggles, you're going to see insert random backup's name here. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say it with Kyler Murray either because he's the number one overall pick. You don't say it with Russell Wilson. You don't say it with Brady. But when you say it about Garoppolo, hey, if he struggles, they might go to Mullins, that's a story. It's not as if it's an indictment, and it's not as if we have a full-blown quarterback controversy on our hands. What we're trying to figure out is at what point something like that would happen, and how do you go about handling something like this? Do you give Garoppolo a long leash, or do you have a team right now that's good enough to win, to get to the playoffs? And if the quarterback is the issue, do you make the switch sooner? Lowe is of the belief that if the team's going to be good enough, maybe you get him out of there sooner because you don't want to jeopardize the season. It's a reasonable point. I think you ride with Garoppolo longer, but we're just trying to lay everything out. So for those who think there's a crazy story breaking, there's not necessarily, but it is fascinating that we've heard it from Chris Mortensen. We've heard it from Michael Silver. There's someone else out there. I think it was John Clayton, who all said, yeah, if the guy struggles this year, Nick Mullins can very much be in play.
Right. And my question to you, Joe, is like, you know, this year you're saying, hey, is John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I'll ask you, should they be under pressure to win this year?
Absolutely. It's year three, and they absolutely need to win this year. But with this question, you have to figure out the balance between winning this year and then continuing to build in the process. When we say winning this year, we're not talking about 14-2 and getting to the Super Bowl. There are teams that are expected to seriously contend for the Super Bowl. The Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Patriots, to name a few. If I didn't name your team, don't take it personally. Those teams are expected to contend for the Super Bowl. Expected. If you fall short of a deep playoff run, those are failures. That's not the case here. The case here is people want to see progress. They want to see you late in the season in position to possibly claim a wild card. That's the expectation. But next year's expectation is going to be greater. And you've got to think about the short term as well as the long term. And with Garoppolo, the thing that worries me is if you give it 6-7 games and he struggles and you decide Mullins is better for us now and you make the switch, okay, fine. Say Mullins plays pretty well. What are you going to do with Garoppolo? Are you done? Is he gone after the season? And then what happens if you start next year and Nick Mullins turns out to just be a guy? You still don't have your quarterback. I like the idea of playing Garoppolo straight through the season, no matter what, if he's healthy. You're going to know what you have. We keep talking about the sample. Well, he was paid, and he only played a handful of games. True. Let's get some more games on the ledger then. Let's get a bunch of games on the ledger. Let's see where we're at. Let's see how he responds to the players around him. Does he make the wide receivers better? Does he make the running backs better? Is the offense better because of him? Is he a good leader? And if all those boxes are checked, he's your guy. If they aren't, you think you have a problem, then you can move on this offseason and move over to Mullins. But you're not going to win a Super Bowl at any point in the near future if you don't have a quarterback. You need a competent quarterback, and they have got to get that figured out. So when it comes back to your question about the hot seat for the GM and the coach, yes. But it's not one of those sizzling hot seats where you can see him on his way out the door. Like Doug Marrone in Jacksonville, you can start to kind of get the feeling he and Coughlin might be on their way out the door. Yeah. There are teams that are going to be dealing with that. The Niners, because of these six-year contracts, I think it gets really hot next year if this year's a disaster. That makes sense. Okay. So I'm trying to balance the short term with the long term, and that's why I've got the longer leash for Garoppolo. I really want to see the sample expand.
And I agree with you on that, absolutely on that side of it, is let the sample grow, because what, he's 7-2 as a starter now, and if he starts 15 more games, that'd be a 24-game sample size. That's more than
I don't want to use the win losses, though, because does he get credit for the Tampa win? He played okay, but that was more the defense. It's like that pitcher thing we do sometimes.
And ultimately, I believe in pitcher wins because you play to win the game.
Are you, come on.
Hello?
You're just messing with me, right?
No, I'm being serious about the fact that the quarterback, your job is to put your team in a position to win the football game. And Lowe made a great point yesterday, and I'm sure he made it Monday. I wasn't here, that the way the plays were designed, the way the offense was designed was not to expose Jimmy Garoppolo to a lot of deep drops, a lot of deep throws. You let your defense carry the day. So ultimately, he checked that box. You won the game. I look at 7-2, not so much for the 7 wins in the 9 games, but for the fact that he started 9 games. Excuse me. If he starts 15 more, that gets him to 24, which would be an entire season and a half. That's enough of a sample size, in my opinion, to where you could make an honest judgment.
I agree.
I agree. So if it's a rookie quarterback and all of a sudden he has a bad first year, usually you give him, look at Bortles, you gave him 4 or 5 years. You give
Josh Rosen's a good example, I think.
Trubisky is another one that's going to be a good example.
Exactly. They're going to give Josh Rosen some time.
That guy cannot catch a break.
But he's getting the extra leash because of the wins. If they were 4-12 last year and he played like he played, he probably wouldn't be the starter this year. So I think wins is definitely a factor.
But he's the number two overall pick. He'd get that at least this year. You have to give a guy like that at least 3 years.
He was a first round pick, and he wasn't given any.
I think that's more on the organization than anything else. That's a bad organization. Really bad organization. I see the point you're making, but that's a bad organization.
That usually doesn't happen. Hell, you even had friggin' Ryan Leaf, all those cats that usually they get some time. You've had first round picks, they usually get a year. Freaking DeMarcus Russell.
Yeah, Russell's the one that they pulled the plug quick, and he still got more than he should have.
That's what
he got
a couple years. My point is, now, I'm not throwing Jimmy away. I don't want it to be – I'm not trying to say we're all saying Jimmy should start. My point is this. If Jimmy, why wait 9 weeks? If he struggles and you haven't won any games and you're one game and Jimmy looked like crap, and then you say, wow, now I just say I don't want him anymore. I think that why not go with someone that can move better? Why can't when you go with someone that the team believes that? And I'm not saying this. If this is any quarterback, why wouldn't you go with that other quarterback if the guys believe they can get there better? If the team around him want to rally around him, why would you not play that guy, no matter if it's Jimmy? I'm talking about anywhere, any quarterback around the league.
To me, if you make that switch and do what you're talking about, let's say you go to Mullins – and he wins, and then Mullins struggles. You go back to Jimmy G, and you keep going back and forth throughout the season. You wind up 7-9 or 6-10, and the year's a disappointment. What does that say about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan? Because you went out and spent draft capital on C.J. Beathard, and he's your third stringer. You went out and traded for, with draft capital, Jimmy Garoppolo, and you weren't sold enough on him to even really give him a fair shake because you were pulling him, you were bringing him back. Back and forth, and then you have an undrafted Nick Mullins who you threw in there, and he played, and then you took him out, and you weren't sure what you were going to do. What does that say about the organization when you weren't able to settle on a guy? You spent all this draft capital on guys you're not even going to use anymore.
I don't think it says much, because here's the thing. He won you 5 games 2 years ago. The guy went 5-0. He has, like you said, the sample size is small. So if you're saying why, this is all hypothetical, because right now,
sure.
If he's hurt though, and you can see it, and if you watch enough tape and show that he can't get through, he can't pivot on the leg, he's throwing the ball up, he's throwing the ball behind people because he's not coming all the way through because, again, it's not transferring his weight onto that leg. And if you see enough of that, and then you say, oh my God, is that an indictment on Jimmy? No. It's because the guy's not healthy. And you look at the stats and you see Tom Brady didn't have, 14 interceptions, only 28 touchdowns. And you see Carson Wentz, and you go through and you look at all the stats and tells you it's not an indictment on those guys. It's they couldn't do what they're capable of doing because they're hurt. So I wouldn't run him out of them. I'm not trying to run him out if those things were to happen. I'm just saying if another guy's there that gave you a better opportunity to win at that particular time, I'm just saying if you believe that you can win now, I would do it.
Quick aside, remember last week how we played Does Low Know and you guessed Mike Allstock correctly?
Yeah.
10 questions,
yeah.
And you got it?
Yeah.
We're doing that again tomorrow at 8:45. We got it all lined up, if that's the way to say it. So it's basically 24 hours from now. Do you think you'll be able to do it again? And again, for those who don't know, Does Low Know, we call up a celebrity guest on the hotline. Low has no idea who it is. He gets 10 questions, yes or no answers only, 10 questions to guess it. Last week he got it right. It was Mike Allstock.
I probably will, but I'm not giving up dibs. I'm not going to bend the knee. I'm going to make sure he continues. I'm not going to put the meat on the line for that. And I won't go to the
move. We'll do something new. You won last week, and as a result, Dibs said he wouldn't. Lowe said he would. Dibs now has to acknowledge the nickname The Mita for Alameda.
I had to then. I didn't have to in perpetuity.
No, come on.
And in fact, I was talking to the good people at Los Camales in the Fruitvale, and they are outraged at your bastardization of the nickname of the town of Alameda. And so it's a town. It is the island. It's a number of different things. And there was nothing in that wager that I had to in perpetuity recognize.
No, that was the deal. You had to acknowledge it as the Mita.
And I acknowledged it.
Don't do
and
this.
And we've moved on. Are and you now this is,
oh, that's sour grapes.
This is almost as worse as the gold bars. This is almost
the gold bars. I'll give him that. I'll give him that. Not this.
I acknowledged it. Do you have the tape of me acknowledging it?
It wasn't a bet on a one-time thing.
It was not.
There was no disclaimer that it would be for this day only.
It was like a fart in church where it stinks, and eventually somebody cracks a window and it's gone.
Are you gonna, and we're back to praying.
Just
grumpy. Very disappointing. You know what? For the pregnancy simulator, I'm going to do one little zap and then I'm done.
Perfect.
I'm out. One little zap. I might turn it on at a distance and then just move on, because that's good enough, guys.
Well, what is good enough?
I'm gonna try to do a serious amount of time. I said I'd try to go for an hour. I am consulting a doctor on it, because if the doctor says, look, you do more than 15 minutes of this, you could die, then I probably have to take that seriously. If the doctor says you can do an hour of this, you know, every few off, because you're not just gonna do a continuous volt of electricity,
right?
But if it's like, you know, contractions, which is like what we're going for, and they say you can go for an hour, I'm going for an hour. I'm trying to make this a bit. The point is to make it a good
right.
day. It's to have a good payoff.
Yeah.
Not to constantly look for a loophole like you are.
650 dibs.
Like,
don't
the point
be a,
is to have
a
little
sport.
Bit of
Thanks,
fun with
650.
It. It's just calling it the Mita.
It's
Why
super
are you
fun.
So anti all of this? Jeez. Oh, if it's a fight, the gold bars thing I'll give you. But that, you lost that fair and square. You said you'd acknowledge it as the Mita.
And I acknowledged it.
As what?
As what you
we're not going down this any further. He doesn't want to have fun with it. That's fine. We'll keep it moving.
I'm talking to the man in the media.
To the Garoppolo thing, to bring it back to that, the reality of the situation is he needs to go out and he needs to have a good game.
Yeah.
He needs one good game. It will shut everyone up. That's really what this boils down to. We can go through every scenario now imaginable. We can talk about this season, a third of the season, a full season. We can talk about next season. You can break down Nick Mullins. You can talk about decision-making. You can do all of that. The reality is, if the franchise quarterback goes out and plays a big game, everyone's done. That's all. That's it. No one talks about the backup when the franchise guy plays like the franchise guy, and he doesn't have to do it every week. If he went out this week in Cincinnati and he completed 68% of his passes for 290 yards with a couple of touchdowns, no picks, he keeps the Cincinnati defense on the field for a while, converts on third and wins the game, no one's coming in here talking about Mullins on Monday because we're 2-0 and Garoppolo just played well.
Right.
But every time you throw up 166 passing yards, there's a pick six, the offense looks a little anemic, people are going to ask questions. It's the same thing that happened in the preseason. A terrible preseason game on 10 snaps against Denver sent the world into a frenzy. Came back and lit up Kansas City the following week. We stopped talking about it. Now you go out against Tampa, you get the win. People are going to always come back to this because you are a lightning rod. You are the quarterback. This is what happens at the quarterback position. You're either talking about the backup consistently or you don't talk about him at all. In New Orleans, you don't talk about the backup. In Green Bay, in Philadelphia, in New England, in Houston, in Seattle, the list goes on and on. Those guys, you don't worry about whether or not a bad game leads to a change. Here, you have to go out there and you got to give them a big performance, because it's been two seasons since we've seen a big performance. Last year's three games did not feature any big performances. They weren't terrible performances, but they weren't big time performances. Give the people one big time performance and everyone will back up for a little while. Plus, you give them a 2-0 record on top of that. Tough to complain.
Yeah, you win this. You win this game. Stay with him. Hey, Tampa Bay, like you said, Dibs, you got to win. You're on the Cincinnati. If he's winning, I'm staying with the guy. I just wanted. My biggest concern, if Jimmy G is hurting, And that's what I'm talking about. If he's hurting, they're showing that he's not capable, and he can't put the pressure on the knee. He's not getting in, and the coaches can see that. And if he's not throwing the ball right, then and it's because of what's going on. And I'm not saying it is. I'm saying, but if that was the case, and you guys still wouldn't play. If that's the case, now if he's out there and he's just struggling, yeah, I'm letting him fight through it. But if you know that is the case, he's not able to transfer weight on a bad knee, and you start seeing that this is obvious, and because he's not, the balls are selling, they're behind, they're in the dirt. If you guys see that, you guys are still saying, no, I'm playing it out the whole year?
That's a different story. If you see a guy who's physically struggling, if he's limping, or if he comes over and he's complaining of pain, or if he has to get the knee retaped, or he's trying to change out braces because he's not comfortable getting to that spot and stepping through his throws, that's a different story altogether. And if he's just rusty, if he's just trying to work his way back from a season lost due to injury, that's a different story for me. And if he tells the coaches, yeah, I'm fine, there's no problems at all, I think it's his mindset that plays into it as much as anything. Because if he feels like he's right, even if he doesn't look 100% to the coaches, then it's going to feel to him like he's being pulled. And then I think you have a bigger issue in your hands.
Understood.
Bob and the Billions coming up in about 7 minutes. Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We'll get those shout-outs lined up for you. Shout-out 95795, Chilton Auto Body text line. Ray in San Jose. Ray, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts on the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation.
I'm in the same church, same pew, same religion, everything with you guys.
I mean, same seat, same jaws?
Same place, baby, same cloth. One thing I see is that Jimmy did a good job of making reads. Some of his throws, behind him, a little bit high. I kind of put that up to being amped and being back in his first game. I mean, you look at Quan Alexander, he was amped up, a little bit too amped, a little too crazy, and got himself ejected. But, he was back for the first time, too. He was very amped up. I mean, made some big plays. But, I'm not worried about Jimmy. I think he made the right reads. He's got to fix his throws. I think maybe he was just a little bit off timing. But first came back, right? I mean, live, I mean, low, preseason practice, all the scrimmages, different than being in a real game.
Sure.
So, you're a little bit amped up probably being back for the first time, maybe like it's being a rookie again. So if he does the same thing again this next game, I'm a little bit probably going to start getting worried. But, Div, to your, advice there, I think we stay the whole year and see how he does. And then, if we have to, we move on. But, for them to start talking about a backup situation, I mean, if there's clouds in the sky, there might be rain. That's how I feel about it. So you guys are awesome. You make my morning great, and I'll talk to you soon.
We appreciate that. We know that, but we appreciate that. Thank you very much for letting us hear your feelings. It's good.
Thank you, Ray.
Ray? great points. He mentions Quan Alexander. We haven't done enough on this, the ejection and everything.
Love that guy.
You know what? I don't have any problem with that ejection whatsoever. I don't want to see that, and I understand you could argue whether or not that should have happened. The Niners need people like this, though. This is something that's been desperately missing post-Harbaugh. The stone-cold killers that are out there on defense looking to destroy people. That's what you need. You need someone over there that strikes a little bit of fear into the offense. This team needs some more swagger. They need some more intimidation. Harbaugh's teams, you could say whatever you wanted about them. I'd imagine when they were showing up in your building, you weren't all that comfortable that it was going to be a nice, pleasant Sunday afternoon. You might win. You might find a way to get a win, but it was going to take a heck of a lot. You're going to have to keep your head on a swivel. Alexander's that type of guy. I can't wait to see him in Cincinnati. Coming off that ejection, he might get ejected even faster this time if it's possible.
I tell you, when you saw 50 Deuce, when you saw 5-2 and the Niners, you're right. They had bad intentions.
Cinco Deuce.
When you saw
5-3, two right next to him.
5-3, him and Navarro, they had bad intentions. And I'm telling you right now, Quan has bad intentions. If he can get it, if he sees you.
Which boxer went by that name? Was that Antonio Tarver? Was he bad intentions? Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's a great question.
I'm going to throw that out there. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. But you're talking, he had bad intentions. When you see that, when you have that.
When you have bad intentions, Joe, I'm telling you right now, guys start to know. And running backs are like, where is he at? They look, they line up. You look back there and you say, where's that guy? You identify where he's at on the field because you know where he's, you know that this is a heat-seeking missile. He has bad intentions. He has that swag. I love this guy. I think he's brought a bravado. I think he's made other linebackers, you made them better, and it's made them even more confident. You hear the way that they're talking. Now you got a second-year player, the Mike linebacker, who's got the green dot. You even see the way that he's talking, the things that he's, because Quan, talking about what Quan did, what he brought to this, I think he's got that whole defense playing a lot better, and I think this was a huge signing. It's going to pay huge dividends. This guy is going to be a Pro Bowler, barring injuries. The guy's probably going to be, he's going to be top 10 tackling machines. If teams want to run the ball and try him, he's going to end up with one of the top 10 tacklers in the whole NFL. That's how confident I am in Quan Alexander. 805, trust me, you're going to love Franklin, Tennessee. Beautiful place. See you, 805.
Jermaine Taylor was bad intentions. Tarver, I was close. Same weight class, same era. I got all those guys confused. One of them beat Roy Jones, the other beat Bernard Hopkins. That's back when they were all fighting each other. Jermaine Taylor was bad intentions. Damn.
I like your call, though, on bad intentions, because that's what you need from a middle linebacker. And I disagree with the ejection. I like what you're saying about it. You want a player who plays aggressively. Bill Romanowski would always say you want somebody to take a 15, and that's kind of what he was doing there, helmet to helmet. I didn't think that it was worthy of an ejection, but to your point, Joe, yes, I like the fact that he was running around and laying the lumber and doing it in a little bit more of a safe way than Jonathan Abram of the Raiders.
I love that kid.
You hate to see him go to IR, and you hate to see him gone for the year.
Is that official? He said he was going to get a second opinion.
Nice guy had that in his update at 8:25 that he was going to be placed on IR.
IR? Too bad.
If I'm not mistaken. Is that, you got that confirmed in your
update?
You
can jump on, Steven.
Josina Anderson had the second opinion tweet last night, then Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network confirmed it this morning.
Nicely done on that.
We should get her on. I'll give her a shot. But that was...
To confirm what Nice Guy just confirmed about her? I don't think we need her for that.
Double confirmation. We could always use a little double confirmation.
Josina, we'd like you to confirm the confirmation of your report, and then, we probably won't have any other good questions because we're not going to prep.
Wow.
Who says no, right? That sounds like us. That sounds just like us.
That was a little too real, though.
Yeah, it was.
Hit a little too close to home.
Lo got me all twisted up when he's like, Quan Alexander, I love him. I was like, wow.
Love the guy.
Wow.
And you had me twisted up on bad intentions because I was Googling the same thing. Like,
I was so close.
Near knowledge. You got to love that. Ballpark, though. That would be a correct answer.
Yeah, bad intention, a good boxing nickname. All right, it's just about 8:55. You're on hold. Stay on hold. We're going to bring more calls in.
Stay on hold.
At 8:55 every single day, because he's a good friend of ours, we like to play Bob and the Billions.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well, we can go see it after this. Yeah. Can go see it. Low can come. Just low.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
yeah,
it takes too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
I love this. You're one of the Billions?
You know what? One of the Billions.
Does anyone know what this music is from? Why do we play this music?
It sounds like a Vivaldi.
Bob and the Billions, we do it every single day.
What?
Bob Myers, very good friend of the show, practically family. We like to shout him and the other elites out. He, Lo, Joe Lacob, the people at the top of the food chain. But we also like to take the opportunity to shout out the commoners, those down in the gutter with Dibs and myself. We represent you guys.
Gutter scum.
Shout out all the gutter scum out there. Liana from the Yoon, but she says not UC. She wants to make it very clear she's from the Yoon, but not UC. Hashtag shop. Stop hating. JD Hammer at the Portland Airport.
Stop hating.
Tell Dims to stop being a poor sport with an uptick. Very nicely done there. Jermaine Taylor's apparently listening to the program. 95795 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Coit from Sonora. Shout out to the Teamster Local 70. I can't read some of these. They're moving so fast. Chris from Sunnyvale. I love you guys. We love you too. Ed from Modesto in the Central Valley.
Modesto!
Let's keep those
Central
out of there.
Central Valley.
Enough with the Central Valley.
No, keep it coming, Central Valley. Show them the
Fresno.
Deputy Dahl from San Francisco. Who's from the Moo? Let us know if you're from the Moo. We'll shout you out.
There's no such town called the Moo. Represent Valley.
Oh, man.
Jack Vatt from Tracy. Lo, did you text it? It just says Lo from the Moo. Met you guys at Ward versus Kovalev 1 in Vegas. You guys need a boxing segment. Don't remember that. Quite drunk for that affair. Lots of money on that fight. Thank you, Andre.
Man,
boxing, I don't know if I ever
the,
personally thanked you for that
win. They got the wet bar in the media room.
Yeah. Vegas fights are something else.
Seriously.
It's great.
Shout out to Tech in South City. IBEW 332 in San Jose. Zerko from Oakland. Shout out to the Elite in Los Gatos. Manny Pacquiao from Daly City.
Pacquiao!
Mike from the Vale. Just Marin County. Okay, Marin County.
All of Marin County.
Blake's working in the meter right now.
Blake in the meter. Blake in the meter. We feel you, baby.
I see you, Blake.
Marco and all the Sun State drivers in the Bay Area. Little Che out of Oakland. Moraga Mark.
Moraga
Mark. Delivery drivers from Golden State Lumber. We love you all.
We love you.
Lafayette Lou.
How you doing, Lafayette Lou?
Arinda Oscar. Oh, it's all in there, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Walnut Creek Walter.
Okay.
Will from Fremont.
Oh, Fremont.
This music is what the Dubs come out to when they're at home. Yes, thank you. It's a running bit that
thank
we always
you.
Pretend like we don't know.
I had never known that,
from.
Joe. It is news to me.
Yeah, believe it or not, I've never actually seen a Warriors game.
Play it,
imagine
Chase
that
now.
If I've been talking about the Warriors for 5 years, I've never actually even watched them play. Who's
that
this Steve Curry that I'm always talking about?
That was the best ever.
J-Rob from the Moo. You probably know J-Rob. There's only like 60 of you.
J-Rob, you're not from Lemoore. Because I don't know. We don't know. No, Jay.
Michael Silver on Jimmy Garoppolo coming up next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.